What's up, comic book fans? Pete here from Comic Books Transformed, where we talk about the comic book adaptations of your favorite comic books into streaming shows and movies. We have a busy week, Brian and I. We are covering the end of the Loki season 2 and also Doom Patrol. But right now we are talking about a show that I said last week might be the best comic book adaptation. We're talking about Invincible season 2. Brian, you have a fucking shirt on that says Megatron, and it looks like it's like Megadeth.
Yep.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's the kind of like a play on the cover of Rust in Peace.
It's yes. Awesome. That's so cool, man. And that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But Transformers is a cartoon. Invincible is a cartoon adaptation. What did you think of episode 2 of season 2?
Episode 2 was good. I don't remember that much that happened. You know, we're moving along here. I think the biggest thing I wanted to talk about was what's the guy? What's Cecil's like assistant's name?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question.
Donald?
Ferguson.
Donald.
Okay.
Maybe his last name is Ferguson. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But what else happened in this episode then? So that guy's there. And I can swear we saw him die previously. And we get a lot of callbacks this episode from season 1 here. So I guess one of the other big storylines is what happened when Invincible went to Mars in season 1.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to escort some astronauts. And then there are Martians there, but there's also some like parasite there. And then one of the astronauts gets taken over by the parasite. And I get, does the Martian guy stow away on the trip back, or does he get there somewhere else? He must have stowed away, right?
Yeah. I think he was pretending to be one of the astronauts, and Invincible saved a couple of astronauts, and he was one of them.
Okay.
I think, yeah. It's funny because they do show like a little recap before the episode starts, and just like the comic, there's so many different threads going on, different storylines, and there's things that like are referenced way earlier, and then they start to pay off now, and you're like, oh my god. You know, it's funny with a show like Invincible, there's so many characters that are anagrams to like DC characters or Marvel characters. And in the case of Shapesmith, he's essentially like Martian Manhunter, just like,
well, I mean, we already had a Martian Manhunter anagram there, so I would say this is more Miss Martian.
Okay, oh, okay, that's good call, yeah. And then
he's kind of goofy and, you know, doesn't really know what's going on. And
yeah. And he has like a whole box of frozen pizzas in his fridge. He just eats frozen.
And he doesn't know how to pay rent or.
Right. Yeah. It's really funny. That's actually one of the highlights of the episode, is him just sort of talking like he's pretending to be a normal person. But it's like so obvious that he's like an alien.
Yeah. And I believe that's Ben Schwartz, too.
Oh, who's that?
Ben Schwartz. Well, I most people will probably know him as John Ralphio from Parks and Rec.
Oh, okay.
Sonic the Hedgehog. He's played Leonardo in one of the Ninja Turtles series. Tons of other things too.
Okay, yeah, I know that dude. Yeah. It's funny, right? Because he's Shapesmith, and then so you're saying that's Miss Martian. The parasite's pretty much Starro, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just one thread that's going on, and it kind of intertwines with the stuff that's going on with the Guardians of the Globe, where the Immortal has joined the team. We have this, you know, kind of famous moment where Rexplode finds Duplicate and the Immortal getting it on in the shower. That was funny also.
Yeah, which is basically what sort of happened with Eve caught them, didn't she,
mm-hmm.
in season 1?
She just must really love the shower, Duplicate.
Maybe.
Yes. I mean, always just getting it on. So, you know, the Immortal and Duplicate have a thing in the comics, and they're just kind of getting to that point, too. It's interesting because, you know, I read the comics so long ago, and I remember these beats when they happen on the show. I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened. But there's certain things where I don't have the details exact. And one of those parts is with the character of Darkwing. Now, they show him this week. There's this whole, like, city that's under a dome, and it's cursed. And I wasn't sure if that was from the comic or not.
Okay, but that was still an interesting story beat, though, because, you know, it was the sidekick. kind of taking on the mantle of his mentor. I do kind of want to know more about that curse. I don't believe that was in season one.
No.
So I found that interesting. That power set was interesting. And just the idea that, you know, you have to kind of subdue someone who thinks they're doing the right thing. I mean, really, it's more interesting because it's, you know, Mark's dad killed his mentor. So, and, you know, they're facing off. And that whole idea of mistrust against Mark, which Immortal also has as well, because he thinks he's going to turn out like his dad.
Yep. I mean, I feel like that's what this whole season is going to be. It's just basically the fallout from Omni-Man's betrayal, right?
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, and of course, Darkwing is sort of like a anagram for Batman. And then, like, you know, it'd be essentially like Dick Grayson taking over and becoming Darkwing now, or Batman, you know?
Yeah,
agreed. So, I mean, they crammed a lot, because besides that, some more fallout was also this whole big Atlantean scene.
Yes. And that's where the episode gets the name from, too. It's like, in 6 hours, I'm going to... Something about a fish. I don't remember.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, because he's going to go get married. In about 6 hours, I lose my virginity to a fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the implication is, you know... Cecil sends Invincible there to kind of deal with the fallout of Omni-Man killing the Atlantean King. He thinks that it's just going to be some ritualistic kind of fake marriage sort of thing just to appease the people there, but they really want a trial by combat. And it was interesting because, you know, Cecil's telling you know, he fights this giant creature. Cecil's telling him to just leave. We'll deal with it, whatever. But the creatures ends up killing some people. What looks like little fish children, honestly.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Wasn't it? Am I wrong?
I didn't take them as children, but you could totally be right. Yeah. He like smashes them into the ground. Their little bodies kind of float up. Yeah.
And then Invincible is kind of floating away, but he decides to go back and actually help. And it kind of helps rectify the situation. But it's interesting because he did the right thing, but he disobeyed Cecil's orders. So I think that's going to come into play. You know, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, that scene it's packed with a whole bunch of different things, because first of all, it's got the humor, and it's got a great voice cameo too. You know who the queen is?
No, I didn't notice.
Oh, Tatiana Maslany.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. The only reason why I know that, man, because you're so much better at me than this. The only reason why I know is because, you know, how Amazon, it'll just tell you who's in the scene.
Because you're such a big She-Hulk fan.
Oh my God. Wow. Dude, wait till you see what I say about the Marvels. That's going to get quite a reaction to that. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm dying to talk to you about that movie, by the way.
I don't know when I'm seeing that yet, but I mean, it might have to wait till next week, unfortunately.
No rush. We got a ton of shit to talk about this week. But so that scene's got a lot of stuff in it. You know, it's got that cameo. It's funny, because this is great line where they talk about that tradition of marrying the queen or whatever, and she's like, We're beyond that barbaric stuff. Okay, now trial by combat. You know, I love that. And then it's just this great battle. There's also another really funny part where this little, like, kind of like almost like squishy little creature pokes its head up at first, and Mark's like, okay, I'll fight that. And he like punches it and he gets it in a chokehold. And then it's just part of this gigantic thing. I love that. But my favorite part of that battle sequence is when the thing uses like a sonic blast on him. And it hurts him. And then later on, Cecil's like, hey, we should have the research department look into that. I like that a lot.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that. What do you think that's going to lead to?
Okay, well, I kind of know spoilers for the comic, okay. So I won't go into that. But essentially, for this show, at least for this episode.
Oh, okay. A weakness of Invincible, the Viltrumites. Okay, got it. Duh.
Right. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, we keep talking about anagrams today. Like, there's the Superman anagram, and, you know, a person like Lex Luthor, who's kind of minus from, there's not a Lex Luthor in this show, but a person like Cecil, who's like looking out for humanity, they can find weaknesses with these sort of, you know, invulnerable, super powerful characters, you know?
Yeah.
That's one of the best things about this show, about The Boys, is that you're essentially humans dealing with like godlike characters, and they got to find, okay, there has to be something we can use against them. And so they're discovering on this show that it's like sonics that could hurt them.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, no, I'm surprised I didn't pick up on that earlier, but that makes a lot of sense.
So let me ask you this, you know, just point blank honesty and stuff like that. On a show like this, when they cut to like Mark's mom, is there even like a conscious thought in you where you're like, oh, okay, they're going to show a little scene with the mom. This isn't that interesting. Or do you just like love everything about this show across
everything? The I like all every aspect of it. Character, no matter how small the character is. I think the story with Mark's mom is extra interesting to me because she was basically called a pet and yeah. She's still dealing with that trauma from that. But at the same time, like she also, she, you know, she sees part of Omni-Man in her son, who is still here. And he's not like that, but just that inner conflict, I find very interesting.
Yes. Yes. Did you ever see that movie Brightburn?
I haven't.
Okay. Nor have I, but, I know that like Elizabeth, what's her name?
Elizabeth Banks.
Thank you. You know, she's the mom in that. And I know that there's this sort of like fear of like, oh my God, what's my kid going to do? And yeah. I think that that's a really interesting dynamic to have like a superhero kid. And then you're like, oh my God, they're so dangerous. Yeah. That's really interesting stuff. Yeah. What I liked about the scene with her, because you have a couple of sequences where she's like closing a cabinet and the cabinet opens up.
Oh my God. Yeah.
What I love about that is because it works on like three levels. One level is like, okay, well, her house isn't put back together the right way. And that's frustrating, right? So she's frustrated. The other is like, it's almost like the ghost of Nolan is opening the cabinet. You know, I just love that. And then eventually, you know, she has this kind of breakdown. And when she tries to close the cabinet, she just like slams it and knocks all the wine out and the glasses. And it was just her showing that she's just like so angry and so scared and frustrated. Loved it.
Yeah, that was it. Great scene. And yeah. Now to roll that back into what I initially said too, with the character of Donald, you know, in the flash and the intro, the kind of the recap they showed from season one, getting killed by Omni-Man, in that battle. I don't remember how she knows that he's dead and Cecil doesn't, but I'm very interested into how he's still there, how he doesn't know what's going on. I mean, is he like some kind of weird clone or something like that? And it just kind of rebooted him or he doesn't know?
Can I kind of vaguely spoil something?
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
So, I mean, Cecil does know that he died.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And like, yeah, there is something where it's like, you know, he's the same guy, just maybe a different version.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, yeah, no, it's great, and it's just like the comic. One of the cool things about this show is that you'll see, like, Ryan Ottley post something on Twitter, and they'll be like, this is taken directly from the book, and you'll see, like, panels in the comic, and then it'll mirror what's on the show.
I love things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have much else to say. I want you to kind of bring up anything else you got, but my last point I wanted to make was, isn't it interesting how the logo, the way it's changing now is, it was, like, black with red letters, and now the pieces are falling out, and it's you can see the regular logo behind it.
Yeah, I think it's just supposed to be symbolizing that, you know, the slow process of Mark healing and getting over what happened.
Right. So, right.
Yeah, that's a very nice touch.
Yeah, they have this great little speech in the beginning by the principal, who's like Carl Winslow from like fucking Family Matters,
as himself.
Right. And they're doing this graduation speech, and Mark is missing it because he's fighting that like seismic guy.
Oh yeah, Doc.
I think he's Doc Seismic, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and he has this great moment where the guy's like, "Oh, we're taking back all the stone that you've converted into buildings," and Mark's like, "Isn't that every building?" You know, he's like, "You can keep the wood, right?" And it's so ridiculous, but so funny.
Yeah.
And I mean, unless you have anything else to say, there is the post-credit scene. Do you want to talk about that for a second?
I don't remember it. Oh, God. What was it?
It's with Angstrom Levy, where he's like interviewing.
He's interviewing a Mark that has been captured in the universe. Why? What did he ask him? I forgot.
He was having that Mark go over the details of how he got captured.
Okay.
You know, and he said that they used some kind of special bombs on Nolan and then they captured him. And it was interesting because it was obviously a different universe. And in this world, like Cecil and Donald were women.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mark looked exactly the same.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, I'm totally digging this show. I'm still on board for saying it's the best comic book adaptation ever. This episode felt a little bit like a filler episode. How many?
Yeah, it's only episode two. It's just we're still ramping up. You don't have to make the big splash like you do in episode one. So, I wouldn't quite say it's filler.
Yeah. Right.
But it's a, you know, inching the story along, building up. I mean, maybe that is filler. Who knows?
Yeah, it's kind of like bridging between the main story beats. But guess what? Even if it's bridging something, it's still super entertaining.
Yes.
And yeah, so I dig it. And there's even stuff with Adam Eve too, and like her parents and her trying to. I mean, so much in one episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot to hold on.
Yes. All right, but we're moving along at a fast pace. We still have two other shows to review. So if you guys have enjoyed our Invincible review, make sure that you subscribe to Comic Books Transformed. Brian and I will be back next week to talk about Invincible Season 2, Episode 3.